Hallelujah.
Amen. Please kindly take your seats. Let's pray over the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to give towards your kingdom. We pray that you bless and sanctify this money for the work that it will be used for your kingdom. We pray that you will bless everyone that was able to give today, and for those that were not able to give, we pray that you will grace them, that the next time they come here, they will also be able to give towards your work. We thank you and we bless your name for an answered prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hallelujah. I think I now understand what Mr. Banfo said last week. It is well. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to thank the Almighty God for giving me this opportunity to be here to minister to his people. It's something that I don't take lightly for at all. And I'm very grateful to God for that. Secondly, I would like to thank my husband, the pastor of this house, Reverend Prince Nyako, for giving me this opportunity as well. It's a great honor, and God bless him and be with him wherever he is. He's on assignment this morning, and may God be with him. Amen. And I thank God for your light, for every one of you sitting here. And I pray to God that you will not leave here the same, that God will deposit something into your heart. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to lift up your right hand and begin to speak in the language of the Spirit. Mandaria babo sekenderia barababo shaha. Mekarababo senderia barabashanda kanderia barababo saha. Birobashe kandaria barabasanda karabashenderia barababo saha. Mekora bashinteria barababosa kandaria babaha. Bebora bashikenteria pa. Lift up your voice, speaking in the language of the Spirit. Maboso kondaria barabashe kanteria baraba. Mepapara basinkenteria bababose kandaria barababosa ha. Mepapa kansantaria barababosa ha. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that, Father, you have gathered us here at your feet to hear your word. I pray that you grant me utterance. And as I declare your word, Father, let it bring light, that it will dispel every darkness in the life of anyone here. I pray that in faith this word shall be received, that it shall be of benefit to every hearer today in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you have done it for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, the topic I was given to minister on was, you cannot give up. You cannot give up. Amen. Turn to someone beside you and tell the person, you cannot give up. Turn to the other person and say, you cannot give up. Amen. Now, we are in the month of November. Today, I think it's 12 November. And I believe that when we were starting the year, there were so many plans that we had. There were so many things that we were believing God that we'll be able to achieve. There were so many things that we were believing God to manifest in our lives this year. Some of the things were not even conceived this year, but probably in years before, something that you have been praying to God that it will manifest in your life by this time, by now. And due to life circumstances, due to certain situations, due to certain things that might not have gone your way, maybe you have not seen them manifest. You are not seeing the head or tail of it. It's not going the way that you expected. And sometimes it looks as if you have come to the point where you are seeing the thing manifest. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And then it is no more. But this morning, God asked me to tell you that whatever it is that you are pursuing, whatever it is that you are believing him for, I should tell you that he's not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Whatever he said he will accomplish in your life, this morning God said that it shall be done in Jesus' name. All he's asking is that you will not give up on him. You will not give up on whatever it is that you are pursuing. You will not give up on whatever promise that he has given you. He said it shall manifest in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now when we say to give up, it means that you cease making an effort. That means you are putting in an effort to achieving something or to accomplish something, and it is not happening. Whatever you, the effort seems not to be yielding. And so you decide to stop making that effort towards gaining that thing. Or it can be admitting defeat. You believe that you might be in a battle. You are wrestling to achieve something, a victory in something. And as hard as you have fought, you are not seeing victory. You are not seeing the light of victory. And so you decide to admit defeat and decide that, I don't know whether I'm saying it well, but whatever happens, whatever comes, fine. That is fine with it. You have just accepted that that is how things will be. It could also mean that you are allowing yourself to be taken over by an emotion or an addiction. That means there's something that you are trying your best to overcome. It can be a sin that you are in. It could be immorality, it could be alcoholism, it could be drug abuse, it could be something, a weakness that you have that you are making an effort to overcome. And as hard as you have tried, realize that it is not yielding anything. And so you decide to just let that addiction take over. But tonight, I pray that you will not give up. Amen. The synonyms, other words that you can use for giving up is to abandon something, to forsake something, or to renounce something. Now, in our lives, see, I'm going to the message, in our lives, there are various things that God has promised us the moment we became Christians. When you read the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it talks about the fact that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, the moment you are translated, this translation takes place. You enter into various promises of God. You become a covenant child of God. And by reason of this covenant relationship that you have, there are so many benefits that you have in those covenants. When you read the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, if they can put it on the screen for me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. The Bible says that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The next one. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The Message version will say terrific promises. That by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see that they are exceeding. It's not just promises, but the Bible says that exceeding great and precious promises. That means that it's something that is of great value, something that when they are accomplished in your life, they will make your life glorious. They will make your life become very honorable. They are exceeding and they are great. Now, when you go to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, the Bible also talks about certain promises that we inherit by reason of our faith in Christ. And these promises were those that were given to Abraham. When you read the book of Genesis 12 and 17, you can read that one when you go back home. But in Galatians 3, 29, the Bible says that, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so when you look at Genesis 12 and 17, when you look at the promises that were given to Abraham, they talk about him making Abraham's name great. That means that is your portion. God will make your name great. Amen. He talked about the fact that you'll be a father of many nations. That means that you are not somebody who only influenced the small area that you are in, but you are meant to make a global impact. Hallelujah. It talked about the fact that in him all the nations shall be blessed. Those were promises that we inherit as children of God. And another benefit we have as being children of God can be seen in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. When God created man and he blessed man and told him that he should be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. So in us have been given the promise, the assurance of multiplication, so that whatever little thing that we find in our hands, God has given us the grace, God has given us the impact to be able to multiply it and make it be a blessing, not only to us, but also to the people around us. God has given us the blessing of fruitfulness so that we will not be barren in whatever endeavor, whatever we find ourselves doing in life. Amen. Say, I will not be barren. I will be fruitful according to the word of God. Amen. And he has given us the power of dominion. Dominion over the works of darkness. Dominion over the activities and the ways of the enemy. Hallelujah. So all these are blessings that God has given us. So we see that the plans of God for us as Christians, they are of good and not of evil. They are plans that are supposed to bring us to a good and a perfect ending. It is a glorious one. And the devil does not like it. And because of that, he finds ways to steal what the Lord has purposed for us. He finds ways to cut short whatever joy that the Lord will bring our way. He finds ways to take away our peace. And so when you read the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says that the thief comes. The thief here referring to the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So any good thing that you find in your hands, you see that he makes effort to try and steal it from you. It can be your marriage. It can be your business. It can be your children. Any good thing he sees God doing in your life, he finds way to destroy it. And so all of a sudden, things may be going on so well. You may be doing well academically. You feel you are studying hard. You are putting in so much effort in your business or in your marriage or in raising your children. Then the enemy comes in and starts to sow seeds of destruction here and there. There is a time he comes and he tries to take away lives, your life or the lives of people around you. But in the same verse, when you read John 10, 10, 10, he said that, but I have come, and there is a but. And I want to thank God for that but that is there. Jesus says that, but I have come that you may have life. And not just have this life, but have it abundantly. And today I pray for you that whatever life that you have in Christ, it shall be abundant, in abundance. Amen. Every good thing that the Lord has deposited in your life, every good thing that he has purposed for you, may you enjoy it abundantly in the name of Jesus. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is his agenda for you. And so one of the ways that he does that is that he puts you to a point where you feel like giving up. You feel like whatever you are working towards will never be achieved. Whatever promise that God has purposed for you, it can never be realized. And because of that, you become discouraged. You become fearful. You become so... You fall apart so much that you feel that there is nothing good that can come out of the situation. And at that point, you feel like giving up. But this morning, we thank God that he says that he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says that, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I came to tell you that you have Christ Jesus in you, and because of that you have the victory. Amen. No matter what may be staring in your face that may look disappointing, no matter what you are seeing down that may look discouraging, I came to tell you that you are victorious in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one who has the final say in that matter. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Whatever he has said concerning your life, whatever battle you are facing, in Christ Jesus, you have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you look at the Bible, so that you will not feel that you are the only one who is going through that issue, there were so many great men of God, and even Jesus himself, who went through so many afflictions, who went through so many pain, at a point they felt like giving up. And the first person we would like to talk about is the man Moses. Now, when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 25, the Bible says that when Moses came of age, he realized that God had deposited something in him to be a blessing to the people of Israel. He realized that he was not an Egyptian, though he was raised up in the palace. And so he made an effort to help rescue his people. The Bible says that by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, please, if I can have the New King James Version, amen. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. The next verse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So when he was growing up and he saw what the Israelites were going through, the torment that they were going through because they were slaves to the Egyptians, he realized that something was in him that could help him deliver his people. That was his desire. That desire had been planted in him. So one day when he was going about, he saw an Egyptian and an Israelite who were fighting. And the Bible says that he went to defend the Israelites and ended up killing the Egyptian. And that was his way of trying to fulfill that desire that had been planted in him. But the Bible says that when he did that, he thought that it was done in secret, but he found out that Pharaoh had found out. So he ran away. And when he ran away, the Bible says that he met a woman called Zipporah. And out of that, he married her. And then he started tending the sheep of his father-in-law. So a man that was raised up in the palace, and someone who had seen the royalty, had enjoyed so much privileges, all of a sudden was no more in the palace, but was now in the, had become a shepherd, tending sheep. That is how low he had been brought in life. And when you read the book of Acts chapter 7, I would like us to read Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was giving account of this. Acts chapter 7, let's go to from verse 23 to 25. The Bible says that now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. The next verse. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. So he knew that in him something had been planted to help to deliver the people of Israel. Let's go to the next one. And then let's go to the verse 35. This Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be the ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. So the Bible says that one day, whilst he was tending the sheep, he saw a burning bush, and then he turned in that direction, and then God spoke to him. Now, when God came to Moses and started speaking to him, he told him that he had called him to be a deliverer of the Israelites. But the moment they told him this, Moses started giving excuses why he was not capable of doing all these things. Somebody who had been raised in Egypt, in the palace. And when you read Acts chapter 7, the Bible says that he was mighty in deeds and in words. But at that point, because of what he had gone through, how he had run away, and for 40 years he was now leading sheep instead of people, he had lost any form of confidence in himself. And he told God that he was not able to do that. He was not able to speak to the people. He would not be able to speak to him. God went on to tell him that he was the one who created the mouth and he would put words in his mouth. Even that, Moses was still saying that he was not able. And finally, God decided to give him Aaron to help him to speak to Pharaoh when he went back. And sometimes that is how life can be. We can face certain challenges. We can face certain situations that can cause us to lose our confidence. It might make us feel that our lives cannot measure up to anything again. It might be a business that you decided to take, you venture in. You took a step and then you ended up losing all the capital. You lost your confidence. It could be an exam that you decided to write. You wrote it the first time and then you failed. And somebody told you that as for this exam, if everybody can pass, if you failed in this one, then I don't know what you can ever pass in. And because of that, you have become discouraged. You have lost any confidence that you have in self. But this morning, as God had mercy upon Moses and went back to him and told him that he was still the deliverer of the Israelites, I pray that God will help you gain back your confidence. Amen. I pray that you will not lose your confidence in the face of that challenge that you face. Amen. whatever it is that you might have gone through, whatever disappointment that you might have faced, it might have been a marriage that you went to, and because of certain situations, you have lost any form of confidence, you have lost your self-esteem, and you think that nothing good can ever come out of it as far as marriage is concerned. It can be your job. You have a boss who always says things that makes you feel that you are worth nothing. You have lost your confidence. You don't see any good coming out of your life. But today, God asked me to tell you that just like how he visited Moses again, he is visiting you this morning. Amen. He says he's giving you back your confidence. And as he helped Moses to go back and deliver the people of Israel, he's going to use you to accomplish that great and mighty thing. Amen. Do not cast away your confidence, because there's a great recompense that will come with it. Whatever it is that you think that you can never measure up to, God says that what he has put in you is greater, and you are able to face and you are able to overcome in Jesus' name. When you look at the life of Moses, when you look at the miracles that God used him to do, a lot of them are yet to be seen here on this earth. Parting the Red Sea, those were things that are not common. You normally do not hear or see them. And for 40 years, when he was in the wilderness, he felt that that was the end of his life. And some of us may find ourselves in such situations. We think that there is nothing good. Whatever situation that you are in, that desert place that you are in, that is where your end is. But I came to tell you this morning that that is not your end. There is a place of glory ahead of you. There is a place, a seat of honor that is there for you. God wants to use you to do great and mighty things. He has people that are there who are praying for a deliverer, and you are the one that they are looking for. And God said that he's going to use you. You might have run away thinking that that is your end, but God says that it is not your end. When he has not put the full stop, no man can put the full stop there. And as he had mercy on Moses, and he went back and called him, this morning God is calling you back, and he will use you to accomplish that great thing in Jesus' name. Amen. The next person we'll talk about is Elijah. And I'd like us to look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2 to 4. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2 to 4, the Bible says that, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Now, imagine Elijah. When you read the previous chapter, he had just been on the mountain of Carmel where he called down fire and he had killed the prophets of Baal. And when Jezebel heard it, Jezebel threatened his life. Amen. I silence every voice of Jezebel in your life. Amen. Any Jezebel that will speak to take away your life, may the Lord silence that Jezebel. Amen. Jezebel said that he wanted to kill Elijah. And such a great prophet that God had done so many great things with, he became afraid. So sometimes when fear comes, don't worry. That is why in the Bible we have so many scriptures that say, do not fear. Because God knows that sometimes circumstances will come and fear will come. The Bible says that he was afraid. And he was so afraid that he told God that he wanted to die. There are situations that we can face. Sometimes you just don't want to get out of bed because you don't know what is coming up next. There are some situations that can come to you, and sometimes you wonder how you are ever going to come out of it. You are wondering whether you will survive. But this morning, I came to tell you that you will survive. Amen. Any voice that is speaking contrary to you, that voice is a lie. It is the voice of God that is true. There are certain voices that we can hear in our lives that can come to break us. There are words that we can hear that can put so much fear in us, and we think that nothing good can come out of a situation. Sometimes it can be a medical report. You see it and you wonder whether any good thing can come out of this medical report, that can come out of your condition. And then it can sink you into a state of depression. And sometimes you start having thoughts of suicide, or thoughts that, okay, we cry, send me, we cry, no, it is the voice of the enemy. Hallelujah. There are certain words that can be spoken to you that can make you feel like you are so weak, you are so little. There is nothing good that can possibly come out of that situation or out of your life. That can make you feel so intimidated. Sometimes it can be the voice of your boss at the workplace. Every single thing that you do is criticized, and you wonder whether you are even good for anything. Sometimes it can even be the voice of the things that we say to our children. And I want to caution us parents, sometimes it's not intentional, but we should be careful the things that we say to our children, especially sometimes when they come with their results or when they misbehave. We should be very careful because some of the words can break them down. This is a mighty prophet of Israel, but the words of one woman, someone who was able to kill the prophets of Baal. One woman said that he was going to kill him, and because of that, he was afraid. And he was so afraid that he wanted to die. He told God that I am no better than my fathers. But this morning I pray for you. Any voice of accusation, any voice that wants to make you give up in life, may that voice be silenced in the name of Jesus. You will make it. You are not a failure. You are not one who is going to live an insignificant life. They might have said that what good can come out of this life? You have been failing and failing. What good thing can come out of your marriage? Someone can look at you. Sometimes it can be a relationship that you were in, and because of a bad person that you were in a relationship, the person can tell you words that can ring in your mind, and you think that is true, that you are good for nothing, but you are the one somebody is somewhere praying and fasting to God about. So don't let that words of that person sink you into depression. Don't let the voice of that word make you feel that is your end. There is something glorious that God wants to do with you. There is something beautiful that God wants to accomplish with your life. And this morning, may the Lord shut your ears to any evil voice. May any evil voice that is speaking against you be silenced now in Jesus' name. Amen. The next person that we would like to talk about is Isaac. Now, when you read the book of Genesis 26, I would run through because of time. In Genesis chapter 26, when there was famine and Isaac decided to go and then go to the land of the Philistines. And when he went to the land of the Philistines, Abimelech was the king at that time. And when he went there, the Bible says that he sowed and he became prosperous. Everything that he was doing was becoming successful. And the people of the Philistines saw it, and they realized that he was becoming great. So they became envious. And then they said that if they don't take care, Isaac will come and rather rule over them. And out of envy, they started to torment him. And the Bible says that in those days, you know, he was a shepherd. He used to tend sheep. So that was where his wealth was. And they began to fill the wells that his father had dug, wells that he was using to feed his family and his flock. They began to fill it with earth. And by so doing, they were trying to destroy his source of prosperity. It was a way for them to stop the way he was being prosperous, so that he possibly in the future might rule over them. And so when they stopped it, they told him at a point that they felt he was becoming too great. So they decided that he should leave them. And when he went away, at a point, he dug a well in the valley of Jerah. And when he dug the well, the people that were in Jerah came, and then they contended with him over it, and they said it was for them. And so they took it from him. And then he went and then he dug another well. And when he dug that well, they came and contended with him over it. And then they took that one from him. And the Bible says that he dug another well. And when he dug that one, there was no contention. And he named it Rehoboth and said that God has made room for you. This morning, God will make room for you. Amen. Now, in this life that we are in, there are certain things that we might be convicted about. There might be something that you will feel and you will know deep within down you that God wants to do with you, God wants to accomplish with you. There are certain steps that you might take and you know that this is my way to prosperity, but the devil will come and oppose it. And the oppositions may come in various forms. It might come that you would apply for a job, you go and you are disappointed. But the fact that you are not taking the first time does not mean that is your end. Sometimes when we keep trying and we feel like we are not yielding the result and the results are not coming, we feel that that is it. That means that this place is not for me. But you see, life is not always like that. Sometimes it's not that you move A and you go straight to B. Sometimes the distance between A and B can be very long, but you have to keep trying. Tell someone, I will keep trying. The fact that you went and you applied and you were denied does not mean that when you apply again, that means that God has a better door for you, and that is where He wants you to go. Maybe where you applied to, whatever was behind that door, was not something that will bring you your prosperity, and God wants you to try again. Sometimes you want to give up because you went into a relationship and it ended up very bad, and you feel like, I will cry, and yeah, mommy, I will never marry again for whatever reason. Maybe somebody broke your heart, and because of that, you say that all men are like this, all women like that. Try again. Hallelujah. Ask God for wisdom and try again. Until Isaac kept digging the wells, he did not know that his Rehoboth was ahead of him. And after, the Bible says that when he finished digging it, and the people of the Philistines realized he was prospering, they now came to him. When you read the verse 28, they came to him and then they said that, we have seen that God is with you. There are some certain things that you are going through, that if you give up, the glory of God will not be manifested in that story. It is in that situation that all men will see and say that, truly, if you have been able to come this far, irrespective of the discouragement that you face, irrespective of the disappointment that you face, that means that the hand of God is with you. And because of that, I will also worship your God. Sometimes what you are going through is a way that God is using to evangelize to someone about how He can work in the lives of people. Your life is the testimony that will draw somebody to God. And I pray to God that you will not give up. When you dig one well and it is taken from you, dig another well. So far as you have the conviction in you, so far as you have it deep within you that this is the path that God has set me on, it will work. Because God, by His strength, you shall prevail. Amen. Now, the next one we'll talk about is about Jesus Himself. And I'd like us to go to Matthew chapter 26. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says, if we can go to 36, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, and when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and from verse 36, it says that, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And the Bible says that, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, throughout the life of Jesus Christ, we realize that there were so many persecutions that he faced from his very own people, from the Pharisees, from the Sadducees. And he had come to a point where he was near the great sacrifice that he had to make so that he would be lifted up and be seated on the right-hand side of God and be given a name that was above all other names. But the Bible says that when he looked at the weight of the sacrifice that he was going to make, he was deeply sorrowful. He was deeply distressed. And he told God that, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. The sacrifice ahead of him was very great. And he felt that this was too much for him. How was he going to accomplish it? But he did not run to man and cry to man. But it was God that he cried to. And the Bible says that God sent angels and they came to strengthen him there. Sometimes in trying to accomplish certain things in our life, in trying to make our marriages work, in trying to raise our children, in trying to help our families come out of certain situations, it may demand certain sacrifices from us. In trying to live the life that God has purposed for us, it might demand certain sacrifices from us. And sometimes you can come to a point where you wonder, can I continue going on like this? You can be a lady and
you are believing God, things are not going so well for you, and you are getting this big offer, but it might come with it on the bed of immorality. You might have to sleep with someone. It might be your rent that you are looking for. It might even be the food that you want to eat. It might be something that you are doing in the office, and your immediate boss is telling you, let's do this together. When we do this, when the money comes, I will share with you, or I'll give your promotion when you give it. There is a sacrifice that you have to make. There is a price that you have to pay. And because of that, you are so overwhelmed. You know that if you don't do this, you might end up staying, being homeless, or you might end up not being able to eat, or you might not be able to live the life that other people are living. Sometimes it might look like, you might feel like you are a fool if you say no to that thing. But this morning, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was strengthened, and whatever sacrifice is being demanded of you at this point in your life, I pray that God will give you strength. Amen. May the strength of God fall upon you by His Holy Spirit, and may you be able to go through. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was able to go to the cross, and He died for us. And because of that, you and I are sitting here, and we are partakers of that glory. Hallelujah. And there is a sacrifice that may be demanded of you. If only you will pay the price, if only you'll be able to go through it. God says that there is a place of honor, there is a seat of honor that is waiting for you. When you look at Joseph, when Potiphar's wife came and he decided to offer herself to him, at that point there was no one there. He could easily have given in. He could easily have slept with him, and Potiphar might not have known, or even it would have taken a very long time for him to know that this was going on. And I'm sure he would have enjoyed so many privileges if he was living with her, because you are servicing me, so you make sure that he enjoys everything in the house. But he looked at his stand with God. He looked at his commitment to God. He looked at the God that had brought him that far, and said that he was not going to make that mistake. You see, anytime the devil is offering you something, and when he's offering you something, especially for a physical reward, know that it is not just a physical exchange that is going on. There is a spiritual exchange that is also going to happen if you yield to him. You see, at that point, he thought if he had given in, it would have been for him to enjoy the house of Potiphar, but he wouldn't have known that the ticket to being the prime minister was going to be forfeited. Sometimes the sacrifices that we need to make, we might not even see the glory that is ahead, but God said that if you will stand firm with him and allow him to strengthen you and overcome, he is able to give you that place that he has purposed for you. Hallelujah. All he's asking is that don't give up. Don't sell your birthright right now. When Esau went to Jacob and sold his birthright to Jacob, he did not know that he was selling the promises of a covenant that was being passed on from generation to generation. He didn't know that there was so much glory ahead of him, that it would be said one day, possibly, that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Esau. No, he didn't know that. And because of that, he was ready to sell his birthright for food. Sometimes the enemy will demand that you sell your birthright. He will demand that you give him something in exchange for something glorious that is ahead. But this morning, I pray that God will give you strength. May you not be able to fall down to his plans and to his schemes, but may he give you the grace to be able to sacrifice. The sacrifice may seem so great, but sacrifice. It might mean laying down so many things for your family to come out of that captivity, but make that sacrifice. Sometimes you might be the only one that the children behind you may be looking up to. You might be the star that they will look up to. Your nieces, your nephews, your children will one day point up to and say that this is the person I want to become. And so when you give in to the demands of the devil, they don't have anybody else to look to, and you see that certain things that have been passed on from generation to generation that you yourself, you are not happy about, in your generation, you are not able to stop it because you will not be able to pay that sacrifice. There is always a sacrifice to pay when you want something great to change in your life. There is always a sacrifice to pay when you want a change in your family. And if you be the man to stand up, God said, I sought for a man from amongst them to stand in the gap. And this morning, you are the one that God is calling. You are the one that God is calling to stand up and rise for your family. You are the light that God is asking to shine, so that in the midst of the darkness, your siblings, your children, your nephews, your nieces, your grandchildren can say that if she was able to do it, if he was able to do it, I am also also able to do it, but it will take a great sacrifice from you. It will take a great strength from you. And God said that I am more able. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And for so far as you have the Spirit in you, that strength is given to you. Hallelujah. Another person I would like to give a good example from is the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Now, when you look at Luke chapter 15, we see the prodigal son coming of age and telling his father that he should give him his portion of his inheritance. And because of that, he went away. And when he went away, he joined a bad company, and out of it, he squandered everything that had been given to him. And sometimes life can be that deceptive. You know, the world can try to offer us so many things that we feel like when we chase it, when we follow after it, we will be able to achieve and accomplish, or it will be able to satisfy us and give us the joy that we want or the peace that we want. But you see, the devil never gives anything on a silver platter. When he gives you something, he will always ask for something in return. When he went away, he was led by bad company, and everything that he had, his father had worked for, he was not even the one who worked for it, but his father had worked for and had given to him by reason of inheritance, and he lost everything. But the Bible says that one day he came to himself. Say, he came to himself. He came to himself, and he realized that it would be better for him to go back to his father. And I like the fact that in as much as he had gone so far and he had lost everything, when he came to himself, he decided not to give up on life, but he decided to go back. And sometimes in our lives, we can go far in our relationship with God. Sometimes it might not necessarily be because of a bad situation that you are facing. Sometimes it might be because of the blessings that God bestowed upon you. Sometimes the blessings can come in the form of a good job that you had. It can be in the form of an opening that you had to maybe go outside and go in school. And when you go out, the things that you see, you become so involved that you forget where you are coming from. You forget who your foundation is. You forget who Christ is in your life. And then your fellowship with God starts suffering. Sometimes it may lead to the fact that your service in the house of God is sacrificed. You are blessed with a job, and all of a sudden, something that you were doing, you were in protocol, you were in ushering, you were in the choir, now we don't see you again. Every day is my job, it's my job. And you are saying, oh, on Sundays, that is when I am tired. I work from Monday to Saturday. Sundays is when I rest. You start giving various excuses, and the devil subtly takes you away. But you see, you forget that the things of this world, they are like the wind. When you keep chasing it and chasing it, one day you wake up and you realize that you have nothing in your hands. You realize that you have gone so far, and now the God who blessed you, you have left him behind. And something that you thought was going to give you joy and peace and pleasure, you realize that night has become like sand in your mouth. There is no peace. There is no joy. You go about and you feel frustrated. And something that God thought, a door he thought he was opening for you to give you a blessing, a door that he was opening that he thought that out of it, he will be able to manifest his power and his glory in your life. Now it has become something that has taken you away from him, and you realize that you are alone. But this morning God said that don't give up, come back to him. Whichever point that you have gotten to, wherever you have gotten to in your work, and you know that it is so far away from him, like the prodigal son that did not give up, don't give up. Go back to the Father. Go back to having your personal fellowship with God. Go back to studying your Bible. Go back to prayer. Go back to serving the house of God, because the devil has nothing good to offer you. He will only lead you in the path of destruction, and until he gets to a point where there is nothing good that can come out of your life. But this morning, if you are hearing my voice, and if you know that you have sacrificed your relationship with God or your service in the house of God for the things of this world or for any blessing that God has given to you, he's asking that don't give up on him. him. Don't give up on your relationship with him. Don't give up on your service in the house of God. The Bible says that he is before all things, and in him all things hold and consist. He is the holder of everything that is in your life. When God is out of it, everything will begin to fall apart. It might not look so in the beginning. It might look so nice initially, but I'm telling you, it will not take long, and you see that what you thought you were achieving, it has been lost, and you end up with nothing. You end up with disgrace, and you end up with shame. But this morning I pray that you will not give up on your relationship with God. Amen. If you have prayed and believed God, if you have served in the house of God and he has brought you to a place of honor and glory, if he has taken you out of a situation, don't forget God. Don't give up on him. The same God that gave it to you, he's the one who will hold it. He's the one who will sustain it for you. If you leave him out, it's just a matter of time. Things will begin to fall apart. And when it does, sometimes the consequences of it might be so dire that you might not be able to recover. And I pray that that shall not be your story in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would like to go to how you can avoid giving up in life. Amen. And the first thing I would like to talk about is studying your word. Studying the word of God. Studying the word of God. Now, when you read the book of Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19, the B, the second part, Isaiah 59 verse 19b, the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, usually when you come to a point of giving up in a situation, it normally comes with our thoughts. The devil will come speaking to you. This thing will never work. You will never be able to achieve this thing. You are good for nothing. Nothing good will come out. You will not be healed. As for this thing, it will kill you. As for this thing, you will never be promoted. You will never be able to pass this exam. This business will not work. You will keep trying and trying and it will not work. This child will not come. Yes, they have prophesied to you. God has said, but it will not come. That is where usually the battle begins. It begins in the mind. The devil torments us with thoughts. But the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, when those things come in your mind like a flood, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. And one of the standards that the Holy Spirit lifts is the Word of God. Because when you read John 16 verse 13, it says that, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, if we can go there, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you to all truth. And that truth is his word. But you see, when you don't have any truth in you, if you don't have the word of God in you, when he comes bombarding your mind with those thoughts, because the word of God is not in you, there is no truth in you. There is nothing that you are able to fight those voices with. There is nothing that you are able to fight those words with. And then you sink into depression. And then you feel like that is all there is to your life. But today I came to tell you that study the word. Every time a man of God or anyone, pastor, is preaching and they are talking about ways to do this, ways to do that, you realize that studying the word of God cuts across everything. And because that is the truth, when the enemy comes in and it is fighting your uprising, it is the word of God that you use to stand. So when you are there and you feel that you are sick, or they've given you a medical report and the enemy comes in and says that this one, it will kill you, this one, it will destroy you, the word of God will come to your mind. The Holy Spirit will set you into remembrance, and he will say that by his stripes I was healed. Healing is the bread of the children. When it comes in that this one, you will die, you will not live to fulfill your days, then it will come. The Holy Spirit will remind you, with long life he will satisfy me. So he will rebutter what the enemy is telling you. When you find yourself in a battle, somebody stronger than you is saying things or doing things that you feel that you have no power, then the Holy Spirit will remind you, the Lord is with you as a mighty warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will fall down before me. When you find yourself in a situation, you are starting something and it looks so small, and you hear the voice of the enemy saying that, then the Holy Spirit will remind you, though my beginning be small, my latter end shall greatly increase. So it will take the word of God for you to be able to fight. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you are so afraid. You wonder how this situation is going to end. Then you hear his voice saying to you, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so as these words keep going on in your mind, as this battle is going on, so now it becomes a battle of light and darkness. And where there is light, darkness cannot prevail. So because the Holy Spirit is bringing to your remembrance these words, then enemy becomes to shut his voice, because he cannot outspeak God, the light. Darkness cannot prevail in light. So because of that, you are able to overcome. But if there is no word in you, if you are not studying your word, and the only time you open your Bible is when you come to church, you will find yourself wavering in the times of affliction. You will find yourself wavering when there are setbacks in your life. And growing up, I've come to realize that as for challenges, they keep coming. And you must be full of the word of God to be able to overcome. If you don't have the word of God in you, the enemy will easily overcome you. He will easily put you down and make you feel like you're a failure in this life. You see, when you read the book of Matthew chapter 4 or Luke chapter 4, when the devil came to speak to Jesus, you realize that for each time the devil came and said that, "If you are the Son of Man, do this," you see that Jesus used the word of God to counteract him. And when you come to the latter end, after all those temptations, the Bible says that he left for another opportune time to come. That is how the devil is. When you overcome him in one battle, it does not mean that he has left you. He's looking for another opportune time to come. And so you must constantly be studying the word of God, so that anytime he comes in any form, with any word or any voice to come and discourage you, or to put you down, or make you feel like nothing good can come out of a situation, there will always be a word in you. Hallelujah. Study the word of God. Tell someone, "I will study the word of God." Study the word of God. Let it during the PVV weekend, when the woman came, he said high dosages of the word. Study it day and night. Meditate on it, because that is what will fight the enemy, especially in your mind. There are times you will not be able to have somebody to call. There are times that you might not have someone to pray for you. But when you have the word of God in you, you'll be able to overcome. Amen. The next thing that I would like to talk about is prayer. Prayer. And I would like us to turn to Isaiah 40 from verse 29 to 31. Isaiah 40, 39 to 21. Yes. The Bible says that he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. As we go through life, there are times that situations might make us feel weary, might make us feel tired, might make us feel stressed. But the Bible says that, "But those who wait on the Lord," but those who wait on the Lord. And we wait on the Lord in prayer and in fasting. And when you are waiting on the Lord, the Bible says that you receive strength. So in that situation that you feel like you are a chicken in net who runs away at the sight of any terror, the Bible says that you now become like an eagle and you begin to soar. And that situation that was rather meant to make you bow, rather that situation becomes the platform on which you are able to rise in life. Hallelujah. You cannot take prayer out of your life if you don't want to give up. If you are facing any situation, if you want to move to a new level, and you are facing so much persecution, so much opposition, if you see that things are not going the way it should, you cannot take away prayer. You cannot take away fasting, because in prayer you receive strength. When Jesus Christ was overwhelmed and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he went with his disciples to pray with him. Yes, sometimes there might be people who will say, "I will pray with you, I will pray with you." But Jesus did not say that because they are praying for me, I am okay. he himself went and he prayed. And the Bible says that as he was praying, he was strengthened. This morning, I pray for you that anything that you are fainting in, as you lift up your voice in prayer, may the Lord strengthen you. May the angels of God to be sent to strengthen you in that thing. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says that he was strengthened. And when you pray also, you pray with the understanding and faith that God will answer you. When you read 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, if we can go there. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. It says that now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, anything according to his will, he hears us. The next one. And it says that, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Hallelujah. He says that if we ask anything according to his will, and his will is that which he has written in his word concerning us. His will is that which he has written concerning that marriage. His will is that which he has written concerning your children. His will is that which he has written concerning your business. His will is that which he has written concerning your health. Anything that is in according to his will, he said that if you ask, he hears. And this is the confidence we also have, that when he hears, he will answer. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel understood by the books that the time had come for them to leave captivity, the Bible says that he set himself into fasting and prayer. And as he fasted and he prayed, answer came. When you realize that this is what the word of God is saying about this situation, and the situation you are facing is opposite that, and you feel like nothing good will come out, God said that pray according to his will. Take the word of God and present it before God and tell God that, God, this is what you are saying about this issue. According to your word, it is in accordance with your will. And because of that, I know that you hear me. And if he's hearing you, he said that he will answer. Hallelujah. If you do not cry to him in prayer, how does he answer? He's waiting for us to ask. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and the door will be open. Keep knocking, keep asking. So far as his word has said that if it is in his will, he will answer. Surely the answer will come. Though it may tarry, the vision may be for an appointed time. Though it tarries, it will speak at the end. And I see that end coming. That glorious and victorious end is coming very soon. If only you will keep praying and fasting about it. Don't give up in prayer. Don't give up in fasting. It might sound like a cliche, but I have seen it work. I have a friend. I asked him permission before giving this example. He had a brother who had kidney failure. And it had come to a point. At a point, I think that it felt like the brother had even died. The family thought he was dead. He found himself in a situation and they thought that was the end. And when he recovered from that, they decided to make an effort for a kidney transplant. But where was the money going to come from? So the places that they thought the money would come from, they started looking for it. They started seeking money, but at the end of the day, disappointment came in. It didn't come anywhere near, not even 10 or 5% of what they expected. But he had family members who were able to help. But they believed that the case was a dead case. If they spend so much money to help him go outside and do a transplant, they might end up losing that money. So they were not ready to help. And I remember speaking to him and talking to him about prayer. And one day he followed me to Friday Miracle Hour. And as we were praying, he felt led to sow a seed, and he did that. And he told me that after that weekend, it was on the Friday, he said, after that prayer and after that weekend, all the people that had closed their mind on him, they started calling and asking about his brother. To cut a long story short, they brought in money. The family members that had turned away, now they came together and they gathered money, and they were able to fly their brother abroad. But he came on the altar of prayer. He came because he prayed. And when he got there, he thought within a week or a two, the surgery was going to be done. But you see, that is how the devil can work. Sometimes he will make you feel as if everything is going rosy. Then he brings in a setback. But when he called me, when he was there, 2, 3, 4 months, they were still asking for certain things that they did not have. And some of the specialists were saying that unless they saw that thing, they were not going to perform the surgery. And he was like, so have we spent this money and come this far only for this door to be closed to us, for us to come back to Ghana and come and wait for our brother to die? And when he called me, I told him that let's keep praying. The same God who answered you when you were in Ghana and you went there, that same God is able to make a way for you. at the end of the day, some of the specialists that was opposing it, the others decided that no, they will go ahead and do the surgery. They did the surgery, and by the grace of God, they are back. And his brother has gone back to school. And you know the interesting thing? You heard that they have closed down the Kolebu renal unit where they do the dialysis. Now imagine if he had not prayed. Imagine that when he got there and in the face of opposition, he had given up and he had come back saying that I have been defeated. There is nothing that can come out of this situation. His brother would have been waiting to die, if not dead by now. There is something about prayer that works. When they say, that's why God said that pray without ceasing. He is saying it not because it is for fun, because it is the engine room where many things go on spiritually. Many things are accomplished on the knees of prayer. So when you are in a situation and you feel overwhelmed, go on your knees and pray. Pray and cry out until you see God, the light of God coming. When Elisha went to the mountain to pray, when he prophesied that rain was about to come, when he went he started praying, when he sent his servants back, do you see any cloud? He said no. He went back the second time. You have prayed once and you are not seeing an answer. That does not mean that you give up. Go back again into prayer. Go back into fasting. Fast until you see the answer. Because when you pray, he has assured us. He said, if my people who are called by my name, they will humble themselves and they will forsake their evil ways and they will seek my face. He said, I will hear and I will heal. God is able to heal that situation. God is able to heal that marriage. God is able to make a way in that business. God is able to save that child. God is able to save that family. But he's seeking for a man to stand in the gap. And this morning I came to call you, that you are the one that God is asking to stand in that gap. Don't sit down and cry as if you have no God. You have a God who answered by fire. And when he comes up like fire, any other fire has to be quenched. So I want you to rise up in prayer. Be on your knees and cry to God. Until you see that change, don't stop fasting. Until you see that change, don't stop praying. God is able to answer. When we pray to him according to his will, he has assured us that he will answer. Amen. The next thing that I will talk about is about keeping the right company if you don't want to give up. And from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It says that as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, sometimes when we find ourselves in situations that we feel a bit overwhelmed, we feel that we don't have the strength to go on. Sometimes you need a brother to stand by you. Hallelujah. You might need somebody that will need to encourage you. You might need someone who will speak the right words to you so that you will keep going. But the question is, who do you go to? Personally, when I get bad news or I am facing a situation, there are some key people I call. And when I call them, in me, I know the answer that will give. But you see, I know that with time, with experience, with spending time in the house of God, they have trained themselves and they have gone through things by experience to know that what you are saying and the bad thing that you are seeing, I know, and by testimony, they can tell you boldly that this thing, it will pass. And so they're able to speak words that encourage me. That makes me remove my focus from the problem and focus on God. Sometimes when you are going through stress, you don't need to bottle it all up inside you. Look for the right person and speak to. Go to the right person to stand with you. And they will speak words that will encourage you, that will lift you up. Don't go to somebody who will tell you to take the easy way out. Don't go to somebody who will tell you to take a shortcut. Don't go to somebody that you know that they enjoy walking in a particular sin and you are going to ask them that this one should I do or should I not do. When you know perfectly well the answer they will give you. But go to somebody who will boldly tell you the truth and tell you that this is a pathway to destruction and I want you to take this way and it will work for you. Hallelujah. I remember when I got my admission to go and do my doctor of pharmacy. When I applied and I got the admission, the time that I got the admission, I initially even didn't want to do because I felt I was tired of studying. And when my husband encouraged me to go and apply for it, And the day I got the admission, that day was the day before my father was going to be buried. It was the day they were bringing my father's corpse to our hometown. And we're on our way to go and get something. They said you will put it in the coffin and all that. It was on that way that I received the admission, the email. And when I saw it, at that point, I was at a very low point in my life. I felt very discouraged. I felt very sad. It was a time of mourning for me. And when I saw it, the first thing I said was that this thing, I will not do it now. Maybe I will not even do it at all. Because I couldn't imagine myself going to sit in class, and because I had not really gone through the period of grief. So I said I was not going to do it. But when I showed it to my husband, he said, He said that you have what it takes to be able to go through it. Hallelujah. He encouraged me and he told me that I will go and I will study and I will pass. At the end of the day, the results that I got for this course, it was far better than the one that I had done in my degree when I didn't have any problems in life. I ended up with A's and I was shocked. And at that point, I felt discouraged. I felt nothing good would come out if I pursued that course. But I had somebody who was able to sharpen me well at that time. He was able to take my focus away from my problem and ask me to focus on the God who is able, the Alpha and the Omega, who is able to begin something with you and end it well with you. Hallelujah. When you find yourself in a place of discouragement, when you feel like giving up, look for somebody who will speak right words into you. Look for a spiritually matured person who will be able to use the word of God to encourage you and lift you up. Amen. The last thing that I'll talk about is praise and thanksgiving. In Psalm 22 verse 3, the Bible says that, Psalm 22 verse 3, it says that, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And so when we praise God, when we lift up songs of praise and thanksgiving to God, the Bible says that God himself is enthroned in it. And when other versions will say that God inhabits the praise of men. And so when you are praising him, he inhabits that praise. And when God is inhabiting a situation, his power of deliverance, his power of salvation, his power of healing, his power of his goodness, it inhabits that situation that you are in. And so when you keep magnifying him, you are telling him that, yes, this is what the issue is saying, but this is who you are. And as I magnify you, let that magnificent power of yours be seen in that situation. And so you realize that as you keep praising and as you keep worshiping and you keep thanking him, you have not seen it yet, but you are thanking him, and it is a sign that you trust him, that no matter what you are seeing, his word is true, his word will come to pass, and God has no choice than to rise up and perform. He will come and shake himself on your behalf. When you read Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas found themselves in prison, and they were praying and they were praising God, the Bible says that the foundations of the prison was shaken, and the prison doors opened, and the bands that were on their legs were loosened. This morning, as you praise and worship God in the face of that discouragement, I see God loosening those bands that are holding you down. I see God opening those prison doors that are held you captive. And I see God making a way for you. Hallelujah. I want us to rise up and be on our feet. Amen. Amen. And I want us to pray. If you want to come to the altar, you can come to the altar and pray. But this morning, you want to pray to God. I don't know what you are facing in your life. I don't know which door you are believing God to open for you before this year ends, or anything that you have prayed and you have fasted to God about. But God asked me to tell you this morning that don't give up. Tell yourself, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Until you see God take you to that place of promise, until you see God take you to that place of honor, until you see that healing, until you see that door open, and until you see that business breaking forth, you are not giving up. And you want to lift up your voice and begin to pray that, Father, strengthen me. Father, give me strength. Father, whatever point I've gotten to and I feel like this is the end, and I feel helpless and feel that there is no way that I will come out of it, Father, Lord, give me the strength not to give up. I am not giving up on that marriage. I am not giving up on my life. Something good can come out of it. Something good can come out of that school. Something good can come out of that job. Something good can come out of that business. I am not giving up. Something good can come out of that family. It doesn't matter what I may be seeing now. It might look so gloomy. It might look so helpless. But God, I will not give up. By your strength, I will prevail. By our God, we are running through troops. By our God, we are scaling walls. Babo se kanteri abalababo saha. Me kanteri amalababo she kantaha. Me le mabo se kantari abaha. Me bo se kantari abalababo saha. Father, by your strength, we are prevailing. Father, by your strength, we are overcoming. Father, by your strength, that door is opening. Father, by your strength, we are receiving our promise. Father, by your strength, we are receiving that reward. The devil is a liar. Whatever he has said, it will not manifest. Whatever he has said that has put me down, it will not be broken. The word of God is true. The word of God will come to pass. He said that, call upon me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. God said that, cry out to him this morning. In that matter, he will show you great things. In that matter, he will show you wonderful things. In that matter, his healing will spring forth in your life. Your life will be extended. Your life will not be cut short. That business will not fail. Though it might be small now, I see greatness coming out of it. Though that your house may be in confusion, though there may seem to be so much affliction going on, to this morning God said that he is able to heal. His rain of healing is falling upon you. His showers of blessings are falling upon you this morning. God said that he is coming true for you. If only you will lift up your voice and cry out to him. Lift up your voice and cry out to God this morning. The Father, arise on my behalf as I call upon you, oh God.
Accordance with your will, you will hear us. And we also have this confidence that as you have heard us, you have done it for us. We thank you that for whatever burden that lays on the heart of anyone here, whatever we are
hoping to see whatever promise that we are holding on to you for, that we seem to be discouraged about because it is delayed or because of what we are seeing. Father Lord, we thank you for the strength that you have given us, that we are not going to give up, that because of your word, which is true and does not lie, that door is open unto us. Whatever we have believed you for is done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.